A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on September 14, 1986, entitled, Our Life in His Light. The scripture readings are from Psalm 138, Psalm 51, Psalm 40, and Psalm 116. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
The movement from distrust to trust, as we found it in Psalm 40, already threatens to break out into public. Because when one experiences that which lifts the soul and lifts the spirit and brings salvation and healing and wholeness, when there is joy and rejoicing, when there is light dawning in our darkness, well, we need to celebrate it. We need to tell somebody about it. We have to join with one another. There is something about us that is social. We are made for community, and we do our best. We reach the optimum of our humanity when we are together in community. And when we are together in praise and worship, we are absolutely at our maximum. You can worship God all by yourself. I've met such people. They tell me that they do much better all alone in a boat on a lake on Sunday morning than here. Well, I've been to a lot of worship that didn't quite measure up to drowning worms. And there are people who seem to find him on the golf course, although generally From the people I know who are addicts, there's more distress and frustration in that game than worship. There are expressions of the divine name, but not often in praise. But there is something about the deliverance, the experience of grace, the touch of God in one's life that simply calls us to go public. Psalm 116 is such an expression in which the need to break out and to shout in the presence of God's people all of His goodness and mercy finally comes to beautiful expression. I always use this psalm at the elders' meeting when parents come to request baptism and when persons come to profess their faith, because it is that kind of expression that moves from the crisis to the security and the salvation of God, and then says, and how can I adequately express what I've just experienced? Selection number 27, the back of your hymn book, page 498, Psalm 116. We'll read it responsively. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. Return, O my soul, to your rest. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I kept my faith even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. What shall I render to the Lord for all His bounty to me? I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. O Lord, I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant, the son of Thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to You the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. That last word, praise the Lord, in Hebrew is one word, and the word is hallelujah. And how else do you respond when you have been touched by grace, when you have been graced by God, when you have experienced mercy and kindness past finding out? What else do you do but say hallelujah, praise the Lord? There is something about us that needs to go public with the deepest experiences of our lives. We need simply to share it. We need to let it out. It's true of our sorrow. It's especially true of our joy. There is a need in human society to celebrate together. To the extent that the church has been given up by so many people and our society is largely secular, there are all kinds of secular rituals that have taken their place. They'll be experienced this afternoon, once again, to refer to the football games that'll be on the tube all afternoon. Well, if you were there in the stadium, you would sense some of that power of being together in the group, the excitement, the electricity. Yesterday it was go blue over the Fighting Irish by 1 point in the last seconds. What a moment. What a victory. Unless you're a Fighting Irishman. In society, there are those times when we simply get together and celebrate with each other. And they're the greatest moments of all. Too bad the church has become so boring. I mean, you know, God loves us. Underneath our everlasting arms, over us the shadow of the Almighty. We are forgiven, loved, and graced. And so what do? We come to church and we sit very properly every Sunday. Can't believe Sunday's here again. Go there 1 hour and get it over with. Do it to me quick, preacher. 3 hymns, 2 prayers, and 1 sermon, and out. And then let me find life. I told you a couple years ago when I came about this time of the year from the opening game of the National Football League season in Anaheim when the Rams played the Dallas Cowboys, and I sat in the midst of beer-drinking, hot-dog-eating animals. Animals. They were getting all of their humanity into full gear. Well, we know that's really how it ought to be here. I mean, it really should be. We just sang about our hearts being thrilled, filled with joy and gratitude. My heart bursts with praise. Pretty tame. Pretty tame. Pretty soon these parents will bring these lovely little children and we'll baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll put water on them, these beautiful little children. Now they don't need water in order to be claimed by God, but we go through the ritual, not because God needs it, but because we need it. Because as parents, we can see that water trickle down their forehead and onto their nose and say, God loves them. We really don't need to take that bread and that cup. We don't need that bread and cup. God doesn't need it. And yet, there is something about that moment that enables us to ingest, to appropriate the word, I love you with an everlasting love. This seems to be the marriage season around here. Every weekend from the 1st of August until the end of October, there are weddings here. I have one clean weekend in a 3-month span, sometimes doing the blessed event twice. I was thinking yesterday as these beautiful young women came marching down the aisle at me, I suppose because of what we're doing today, I was thinking, you know, all of this isn't really necessary. The bride and the groom come and they're all excited and nervous and anticipating and expecting and they're busy and they're frazzled. And they come here and then within about 15 or 20 minutes, it's all over with. And I suppose they could well say, is that all there is? But you know that moment when this absolutely lovely young woman, all dressed in white, veiled and beautiful, on the arm of her father, comes down this aisle. That's a misty-eyed moment. Somehow or other, you know, that's that ideal for which our hearts long. There's something beautiful about the celebration of it. We need to go public. The things that touch us most deeply, we need to go public with them. We need others to come and join us and to celebrate. The psalmist said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all that he's done for me? He saved my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. What shall I render unto the Lord for all he's done unto me? I'll take the cup of salvation and I'll say, cheers for Jehovah. That's what this is all about. That's what this moment should culminate in. The community joining together to give some expression. To bring our children for baptism, to take bread and cup. Indeed, to worship God with our offering as a token of lives given back to Him who's given to us.